Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
As we are coming close to the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we come to one of those texts that has a whole lot more to teach us than we often recognize when we just read it. And here's what we see in verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life, and who is sufficient for these things?" A weighty text indeed. It is not entirely different from one that is more familiar to us that we often hear and quote when we remind ourselves that God says that His Word shall not return unto Him void, but shall accomplish the purpose for which He sent it. But that text is, the one that I just quoted now, is not always thoroughly understood, because in the minds of some people, it means that God's Word, when it goes forth, is always going to have a fruitful result, a positive result. "My word shall not return unto me void, that is empty," says God, "but shall accomplish the purpose for which I send it." But that's not what the text says. It doesn't say that it shall always accomplish a fruitful purpose. It shall always accomplish a positive purpose. It says it will always accomplish God's intended purpose, and clearly God's intended purpose is not always fruitful or positive in the sense of bringing lost souls to Christ and so forth. That's the way that text is often interpreted, but that is not the way that that text ought to be understood. And I think the one we're looking at today in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, which is in many ways parallel, will help us to understand what both those texts mean, the one that we find in 2 Corinthians and the other one that I just quoted. Well, thank you for joining me on this Monday, September 26. Thank you for remembering that we can only teach God's Word on the station by the help, financial help, of our radio listeners. So please consider being a partner with us in this ministry. All right, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's work up to the text that I read a moment ago. What is this all about? Well, the general idea is that God's Word, faithfully proclaimed, will always accomplish God's intended purposes. God's Word, faithfully proclaimed, will always accomplish God's intended purposes. Now, we have to actually back up a few verses and be reminded that Paul was ministering. He's relating in this text something that took place in his life in a little piece of historical narrative out of his life. And he was ministering in the city of Troas in a place of fruitful opportunity, which he then left because he had a concern that was weighing heavily upon his mind. And the concern was that Titus, a partner in the work of the gospel, had not arrived in Troas as they had agreed that he would do. "I did not find Titus, my brother," he says in verse 13. They had planned a rendezvous, and Titus did not arrive at the appointed time appointed place at the appointed time. And so, where is he? And that's the question. And Paul tells us that he was troubled about this. He had no rest in my spirit. And so, he eventually took his leave of them, he tells us, that is the church at Troas, and departed to Macedonia. His deep concern for the missing partner caused him to leave a place of fruitful ministry where he was preaching God's word with great impact, great positive effect, and to go to another location looking for this missing brother. God so troubled his spirit that he wasn't able, apparently, to continue ministering. He couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. This concern weighed so heavily upon his heart. Which reminds us that God often troubles our spirits to get our attention and change our direction. And so let me read the verses that I just summarized. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. And so Paul is concerned, but then there's a shift in his attitude. And I continue reading. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life, and who is sufficient for these things? Paul pictures here, you may recall, a Roman victory procession, which he was familiar with, and everybody that he was writing to would have been as well, which was similar to this. When the Romans captured their enemies, they had a triumphal procession back to Rome and displayed their trophies. And Paul says that's what we do too. Because Christ turns enemies into trophies of grace and willing servants, and because Christ has already won the victory, our triumph is sure. But that Roman victory procession involved the burning of incense. This will get to the words that we read in verses 14 and 15. They would burn a lot of incense. That was part of this victory procession. And Paul talks about that here when he says that God through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. Did you catch that? Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. That's that victory procession. Leads us in triumph, a triumphal procession in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. There's the burning of the incense of the Roman procession. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are a sweet, permeating aroma. Paul calls himself that. The preacher causes the gospel to permeate widely, like that burning fragrance that permeated the nostrils of thousands of Romans who lined the streets of Rome to watch this victory march. And Paul the preacher, through the preaching of the gospel, becomes the sweet aroma of Christ. And he is confident in God's purposes. When he tells us that to some, the gospel is an aroma that leads to death, to the others, the same gospel is an aroma that leads to life. Two opposite results. The same proclamation is to one the source of life and to another the source of death. Now, the message is the same in either case, but the results are widely different. It's not that the message changes, The nature of the gospel doesn't change from life to death as it goes out to different people, but the way it is received in the hearts of those who hear it causes it, in one case, to be an aroma, a savor of life, and to another, an aroma or savor of death. And that's because, in the one case, there is unbelief, the corruption of sinful, unbelieving hearts that produces death. When they hear, when that person hears the message of life, the message of good news, that's what the gospel is, but nevertheless, in them, it becomes a message of death. And in the other case, in some other cases, it will have the opposite effect. It will be received by faith and life, wonderful life, new life, the life of Christ, eternal life will be the result. The same message going out has these two very different, very opposite results. And as this passage makes clear, God is just as pleased with the preacher of the gospel when his proclamation is an aroma of death as it is when his proclamation is an aroma of life. God is just as pleased with the proclaimer in either case because if the preacher preaches faithfully and accurately, he's doing what he was commissioned to do. He is carrying out his appointed task, and God's appointed purposes are accomplished. And Paul says, who is sufficient for this? And the answer is obviously no one. No one is sufficient for such a weighty matter. Now, we tend to think, as I said a moment ago, that the gospel going forth is always going to produce life, but this text reminds us that is not the case. Or maybe I should put it this way. We tend to believe that when the gospel goes forth, it is God's desire that it always produce life. That's God's intention. And when that happens, praise God, it had the purpose for which it was intended. And when it doesn't have that result, then, well, we're not quite sure what to say. We're not quite sure what to think in many cases, are we? It's a bit puzzling to us. We don't know what to say. But this text tells us what to think about that situation. And what we are to think is that the aroma of death is as much the fulfillment of God's intended purpose as when it is the aroma of life. Back to verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? It's a weighty matter. But the results are not in the preacher's hands. That's the point here. The preacher's appointed task is to proclaim the message, and God determines how that message is going to be received. And sometimes it's his will that it be received with faith unto life, and sometimes it is God's will that it simply seal the condemnation of those whose sinful hearts will not believe it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.